every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempest all above, and in the secret God for me, I need the breath of those I love. I need the breath of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. That I may walk the narrow way, get by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempest soul above, and intercede with God for me. The breath of those I love. 388. Safe in the arms of Jesus.
Wait. Chào về.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. O Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope is covered out his blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
We welcome everyone that's come to be with us this morning. I got some rather sad news. Elder Draper called me last night. Sister Draper was taken to the hospital, and he knew it was serious, but he planned on coming this morning and not stay for lunch. And today was our conference day, and we decided we would not have a conference today. And he was, like I say, he was planning last night about 8 o'clock. He was planning on coming this morning. But this morning, sometime early, they called him from the hospital. Sister Draper was critical. And they were going to have to do something. They were going to have to operate or do something. So he called me and said that he sent the church here for God's, that he felt that he needed and had to go to the hospital to live there. So I called Brother Gibbons. He's no stranger among us. And it just so happened he hadn't promised today, and he said he would come and fill for us. So we certainly appreciate you doing that, Brother Gibbons. But, hope that Sister Draper will not have to suffer much. She had blood clots in both legs. They also thought she had a light heart attack. And it's a critical situation for her. And we need to be mindful of her in her prayers. And anybody else knows someone that's sick, or we need to mention in our prayers. Brian Pastor. Brother Brian Pastor is a member of New Hope Friendly Baptist Church. And Brother Key said he's not doing well. So we'd like to remember those. And share a service over to Brother Gibbons, and he can have a service in his way and mine. And again, we thank you, Brother Gibbons.
We hope, we thank the Lord to be here this morning, see each and every one of y'all, and we're sorry to hear about Sister Draper, Elder Draper and Sister Draper there, dear souls. They've always been very dear to me, and Sister Draper always thought a lot of my wife. She seemed to be real close, and never ceased to, when I'd see Sister Draper, she would ask me about my wife. So we hope, pray, as the brother said, the best for her. We pray the Lord will bless her whenever he sees fit. So, as you want to sing a song then, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer.
Number
275. 275. If you want to stand, or whatever you may, please do, and be seated and stand.
But he's a master of the
some things around the house, and maybe doing some old dirty laundry, and I was thinking about going, getting ready to go see my uncle, who's in, had to have an operation. He's about 90 some years old, but they had to form of emergency operation on him, but he was doing real, real. But, little grandson, he likes to play church. He always wants me to play church with him. So I took a little time out to play church with him a little bit. And, of course, he likes to be the speaker. And of course, when the service is over with, I look and he's going to close with prayer. And he's down on the floor, had a little face down on the floor, and he's closing the service with prayer. So we thank God for him. So if you're now with us, you'll bow with us. We'll try to, I know our prayers won't mean as much as his did, but we'll try to pray. Lord, bless us. Lord, we thank you for blessing this day. We thank you for thy mercy and goodness. And we thank you, Lord, for thy Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for those that's here this day, those that stood for the truth. We pray thy blessings upon them. Bless them and their loved ones and all that's close to them, the ties of nature. Lord, we ask now that you bless Sister Draper, Elder Draper, and your family, that you'd strengthen them in this hour. Whatever they stand in need of, Lord, it be thy precious will that you would bless them. We know that they are able and can, Lord. And Lord, we know that they are certainly thy loved ones. Lord, we pray that you bless them and be around about them. Bless thy people where they might be upon a bed of afflictions, those who may have sorrow and heartaches and troubles in this sin cursed earth in which we dwell. No doubt there are many who have financial problems, some have marriage problems, and some have lost loved ones, and this many sorrows and many heartaches as we sojourn here. Lord, we pray thy blessings upon them, that we might be blessed to look to thee, the great God of glory, who is thy strength and weakness, who is the light of our pathway. Bless thy people who are together in thy name. Bless those who stand and speak in thy name. Bless those in authority over us. Bless those upon foreign soil that are fighting for the freedom of this country. Lord, we pray that you'd be around about them, and not only them, but their loved ones they've left behind. And Lord, now that we ask that you be thy precious will, that something might be said here today that might be to the glory and praise of thy name, and edifying the comfort and feeding of God's people that we sojourn here in this life. Lord, now forgive us for our many sins and shortcomings, which is many in this life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that the Lord will bless us to say something. It would be most of all to the honor and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to maybe to your comfort, your edification. Mine don't seem to be kind of settled on one thing. I'd rather want to come try to speak to the Lord's people if mine can be just settled on one thing, but. Sawdust seemed kind of scattered this morning, brother. So you pray for me. That little time for you that we might be blessed to say something that's, like I say, most of all, the honor and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, God is sovereign. Whatever is best for Sister Draper, He can heal if it's his will. Of course, not every time it's his will. It might be his will that she go home and be with him, which is, Apostle Paul tells us, is far better. He tells us in Philippians, over here says he was caught straight betwixt two, having desire to go on and be with the Lord, which was far better. But it's better for God's people that he could remain here. And of course, we know for Sister Draper's family and Elder Draper, no doubt if she could be well and be blessed to remain here, that would be very good. But for her, it's far better to go on and be with the Lord. So, because the Bible teaches us to die is to gain. Apostle Paul told him, he says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So it's far better to be on going to be with the Lord. But we hope and pray the Lord will certainly bless her in whatever he sees fit. And like I say, certainly she is a dear soul. She's always been a sweet, humble, wonderful person. And of course, her and Elder Draper two of the best. So we thank God for them. And like I say, God is sovereign. He certainly can heal. He can heal if it's His will. And whatever His will and desire is, whatever He sees fit to do. You know, we read about here in Luke, we'll start there. Of course, like I say, my mind's kind of scattered, but we'll start there. And we'll here in Luke, you know, we find it there, it's talking about the widow. And of course, it tells us there in the 25th verse, there's a fourth chapter. But I tell you of the truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. You know, it's talking about there the widow, you know, that the Lord sent the prophet Elijah down there too. And of course, she just had enough of meal, you know, to make one cake, enough oil, enough of meal to make one cake for her and her son. And of course, they was to die because there had been a famine in the land. Heaven had been shut up, you know, the heavens had been no rain. And of course, the heavens had been shut up and there was a famine in the land. And of course, the Lord sent this prophet down there to this one widow. Of course, the Bible tells us there were many widows in the land. And like I say, God's sovereign. You know, of course, sometimes we question maybe why this happened to us, or why we have to be in this condition, or why we this and that. But you know, God's sovereign. I mean, he works His will amongst the army of heaven and inhabitants of the earth. So whatever it pleases Him to do, that's what what He does. And like I say, there was many widows were in the land, but God sent the prophet down there to the one widow. And of course he told her to bake him a cake. You know, of course, she made him a cake. And of course, the story is that, you know, that they the crews never became emptier, and the meal never ran out. And Lord didn't just fill it plumb up to the brim. You know, like sometimes. Myself, I don't know how you are, but myself, how we'd like to see just, you know, everything just, you know, what we want just laid before us. And God don't do it that way, you know. He just supplies our needs as we need them. And certainly the Lord will supply the needs of His people. So God is sovereign, and of course God is able to heal. And of course He does heal when it pleases Him. And He blesses a lot of the Lord's children. He certainly blesses them with whatever they stand in need of. And of course, just like we call the wild Gadarene, you know, of course, you know, we find here in Mark, you know, reading about him, it tells us there in the fifth verse, and always night and day he was in the mountains, and he was in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But you know, I've heard it said that, of course, you know, that this was a time of that the Lord born him again in the spirit. He was born again in the spirit sometime. It had to be prior to this time, because it tells us when he saw Jesus afar off. I mean, he wouldn't just come close to the Lord. He when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped Him. And definitely he wouldn't have worshiped Him if he hadn't been a child of God. Because, you know, over here in 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He says neither indeed can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Then they foolishness unto him. So this man, particular man, had to be already born again in the spirit. Of course, he was possessed with devils. He was possessed with demons. And of course, the Lord blessed him. He cast them out. But he was one of God's children. Of course, no doubt he would never went to him if he had been. He was one of God's children. Of course, there's evidence there that he was already born again in the spirit. I mean, what I'm trying to say is when the Lord cast out the demons, That wasn't when he was born again in spirit. He could have been born again in spirit and yet possessed with demons. What I'm saying, God's children can be born again in spirit. They can be God's children. They can be born again in spirit. But they can be in bad conditions in this world. They can be in bad conditions in the world. But God can bless them. God can bless them. And it's like this man had demons. He was possessed with demons. But he was a child of God. I mean, because he was, what I'm trying to say is, I've heard folks say that the reason he was possessed with demons was because he wasn't born again in spirit. But that's not the case. That's not the case. A lot of God's people have a lot of problem in this world. I mean, possessed with demons. Of course, we have afflictions, that's a sin. That, of course, it don't mean that's something we done. But it's just sin that we inherited from Adam. We had heard that from Adam. I mean, I've heard folks say, you know, so-and-so, you know, his wife got sick or she had cancer or, you know, so-and-so, this happened to them and that happened to them because they did this or they didn't did that. In fact, I heard a fellow say one time, you know, he told the congregation, he said, before you join the church, you like Job and all his afflictions. But if you'll join the church, and after you join the church, you'll be like Job when he gave it all back to him. That's not Bible. There's no promise. There's no promise of God's children. If they do God's will here in this world, they're going to have, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be well. They're not going to have no sorrows, no troubles, no sickness. Because the Bible plainly teaches us, he says, in this world you shall have trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So God's children in this world suffer. For he tells us many places, you know, said, when it says, if you suffer with me, you also shall reign with me. And of course, God's children suffer in many ways. Of course, not only in body, but in, of course, maybe in troubles and trials, you know, and things of this world. Our Lord suffered. And it's no big thing for God's children to suffer. So this man, to me, he was already born. I don't know how long before that time. But the way I see it, he wasn't born again in spirit when the Lord cast out them devils. I mean, that wasn't the reason he was an alien, because he was possessed with demons. Because a lot of God's children can be possessed with a lot of, you know, demons and things. And, of course, you may say, well, what are you talking about? Well, you know, my mother, my mother, no doubt in my mind, was a child of God, maybe before she saw the light of this world. I don't know. I never knew her. She weren't the time when she was the time I knew her. She didn't pray to God, you know. I didn't, but she was like suffered in the body of epileptics. Of course, you know, to a lot of people, that's kind of like more or less a whole lot like this man here, because you know a lot of times if she was out in public places and things like that, you know, of course she'd fall on the floor. You know, They, you know how people, they walk around like, you know, that's the snake laying there. Snake there on the floor. And, but no doubt in my mind, she was a child of God all the time because she prayed to God. But she was, you know, she was possessed with this disease, with this problem. Those had those epileptics, you know, just time and time and time again. And I saw her have thousands of them. And, of course, like this man here, you know, he was, he had this problem. He was in this tomb. He was continuing day and night. He would cut himself, you know. And of course, the chains couldn't hold him. But when it pleased the Lord, he cast them out. And of course, when it pleased the Lord, of course, he blessed my mother. Of course, like I said, I saw her have thousands and thousands and thousands of them. But of course, my father, of course, I like to talk a lot about myself, but just get the point across. My father died when I was about 17 years old. Of course, you know, left me home there with, a sick mother and, of course, a small sister. And, of course, my sister and, of course, my mother made a home with me or us together the rest of her life, and, of course, till my sister got married. And, of course, When I got married, of course, my mother made her home with me. And, of course, like I say, I saw her have thousands and thousands of those seizures. But one night between midnight and day, she woke me up, and of course, we was living in an old house trailer, and so I went to her room, and I stood there beside her bed and watched her have three straight in a row. Well, like I said, I'd had the sorrow have thousands and thousands of them, but the Lord blessed me that night. I felt different about her than I ever felt in life. And I believe if the Lord ever blessed an old sinner to pray, he blessed me to pray that night. And, you know, she went for 12 years and never had none of those seizures. So, but she didn't have, the point I'm trying to get at, I've heard folks say that people like that, or people like this man here, was an alien. Of course, God had a born again spirit sometime or another. You know that God will. Everyone he loved, everyone he died for, everyone he's given him to come before the foundation of the world. Somewhere between conception and death, they'll hear the still small voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That don't mean they'll all be in the church. This ideal is trying to drift through the church of the true living God amongst old Baptists that all elect to hear the gospel. That is not scripture. You cannot get that out of from this book right here. You cannot prove that with this book right here. Every one of them will hear the still small voice of the Son of God, but they won't all hear the gospel. Because there'll be a lot of God's children that they'll never come forth out of their mother's womb. And of course they'll be born again in spirit like John the Baptist. There's no doubt in my mind, and you couldn't raise enough money to convince me that I got a granddaughter, the only granddaughter I got, that she wasn't born again in spirit before she ever saw the light of this world. There's no doubt in my mind, if I know anything at all, what she may do in this life, I don't know. I hope the best for her. I hope and pray the best for her. And if it's God's will, I hope if she has a burden desire, I hope she'll live in the church. She'll join the church. Because those that God calls out of darkness into his marvelous light, that gives them a burden desire to join the church, they'll never find rest nowhere else. You'll never get an answer of a good conscience nowhere else. You'll never find rest nowhere else other than in the church of the true and living God. So I don't know what may happen to her in life, but there's no doubt in my mind she's born again in spirit before she ever saw the light of this world. And that's the way of all God's children. And some of them, like I say, never come forth out of their mother's womb. They're not going to hear the gospel. There's no way, Brother Keith, they're going to hear the gospel. They ain't going to hear the voice of the preacher. They ain't even going to a written word, see the written word of God. But they God's children that he loved and died for. And of course, somewhere between conception and death, they'll hear the still small voice of the Son of God. So not all of them are going to be in church. They don't all have a desire to join the church. Not all of God's children have a desire to join the church. There's a calling in the church, just the same as there's a calling in the eternal life. First, there's a calling in God's kingdom. Now, I'm not saying all of them obey. All of them obey. I may be a little accused of this, but I'm not one to say that all of them is going to be in the church that God calls. And then, of course, they joined at a certain time. They couldn't have joined a day earlier or a day later. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that. But there is a calling into the church of the true and living God. There's certainly a calling into the church. Because, you know, we find over here in 1 Corinthians, he says there's not many mighty, not many noble after flesh are called. But it tells us, you find it, tells us over there that we preach Christ crucified unto the Jew a stumbling block and unto the Greek foolish, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and weakness of God is stronger than men. For we see your calling, brother, how that not many mighty, not many wise men, not many after the flesh, and not many mighty, or not many noble are called. But God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty, and the foolish things of this world, God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and the things of which are mighty. So there's a call in the God's kingdom. And of course, you know, God calls the people out of darkness into his marvelous light, and to show forth the praise of him that calls you in this world. So, but they're not all hear the gospel, and they're not all going to be called. But God chooses a few, chooses whom he pleases. Like I say, he's certainly sovereign, and he chooses whom he pleases to call in this world here to honor and to praise his great and matchless name. But for as heaven itself, they'll all hear the still small voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But the ideal is that because of don't join the church, you don't do this and you don't do that, if you don't join the church, then you're going to be possessed with devils, and something's going to happen to you. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have sorrow in this world. That's not Bible. Because in order to join the church is not to find rest of the flesh. It's not to be healed in the flesh. And of course, just because somebody maybe has a problem, because somebody has a problem like this wild Gadarene or like my mother, that don't mean they weren't God's children. I've heard it told to God's children. In fact, I heard one time is at the funeral, and sorry to say that this sister has been a member. This brother back here told me his mother joined here 72 years ago, but this sister had been a member of the church about 55 years. Well, the preacher told him and said, if you'll join the church, said you'll be like this sister, because she was pretty wealthy. She had about much goods of this world. She's pretty wealthy. He was trying to tell the grandchildren, the nephews and all, if you'll join the church, then you can be like Sister So-and-so. Well, that's not Bible. That's not the truth. That is not what joining the church is for. Joining the church, we find in Matthew 11:27, says, to come ye all labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your bodies. Now, a lot of God's people have suffered a lot in this world for the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have suffered tremendously. In fact, there's been a lot of God's people even gave their lives for the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that's not what it's all about. It's rest to the soul. Rest to the soul. God's children, when he calls them out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth the praise of him in this world, they became burdened in the soul. And of course, like I say, you'll never find rest nowhere else. None of God's children never find no rest. If their life is a living sacrifice, of course, is in a condition. Of course, we know very well that